Well, hello there. Welcome to the Confused Breakfast Podcast. On this podcast, we review the movies that defined the 80s, 90s, and 2000s for us as kids. But you really can't talk about the defining media of your formative years without talking about the rest of pop culture. On our mini episodes, affectionately known as Mini Bites. Yeah, that's right. We dive into some other aspects of childhood that must be explored. On today's fun-sized conversation, we discuss the scariest kids television show of the 90s, perhaps ever, submitted for the approval of the Midnight Society. I call this episode Mini Bite, Are You Afraid of the Dark?
There's like the first season or so where the intro was like, eh. But then when it got to like the swing set and the doll and like the clown upstairs,
no.
It was so tight.
I mean, sets the mood the show.
It does. That's what an intro should do.
Yes.
It should take 30 seconds to be like, are you ready for this? Because if you're not, you're going to get screwed over, bro. Get ready.
Are you ready? Are you afraid? Let's do this.
That's it. That's what it should do. And it does it so well.
It does.
Well, wait. Time out. Because before we get going on Are You Afraid of the Dark, it's review time.
Review time.
So this one is called Easy Listening, Great Laughs. Ooh. From James Milligan.
Oh,
okay.
Know James?
I know James.
Okay, well, this is from James.
I have no idea who the fuck you are, James.
Either. What a peasant. This is my go-to podcast when I want to break up the monotony and travel down memory lane. The cast has great chemistry, and you can tell they put in the work. Again, very funny and deserves the love. Happy listening.
Thanks, man. That's awesome.
James?
Thanks, James.
God.
Good man.
James is a good man, and he's correct. We have great chemistry. We put in the work, and we're just fucking great dudes.
We're also extremely good at being humble.
Yeah.
So.
Good looking as well.
You didn't even need to say anything, James. No, you did. I need that.
We do need that. We can pretend like we're, you know, we told you on the last episode, we're like super high rated and we're like the best podcast ever. We need your kind words. The minute we leave the podcast, we're like, that fucking sucked.
God,
we're going to get canceled.
Oh my God.
This is terrible.
Yeah.
So please keep the reviews coming. Give us those 5 stars. Remember, you can call us and leave us a voicemail. Remember the number yet? Have you learned it yet?
I haven't.
Come on.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not that good at this.
319-804-9596.
9596. Yeah, exactly. We got it.
So give us that voicemail. We're going to read it on air. But today it is
James, by the way. Thank you very much.
James is a great dude. He'll shoot me a text or like a Facebook message or something after an episode and be like, tell me about, yep, you hit this. You got that right. And then he'll tell me, I don't know why you said that. He's great about it. It's his memory lane with us. I love it.
Cool.
So thanks, James.
Thanks, buddy.
That's the way to go. We love that feedback. So, and that's what keeps us doing this. But one of the things that keeps us doing this is revisiting amazing things from our childhood. And I think we are not alone in the world at Are You Afraid of the Dark being one of the coolest, most watched shows of all time from the 90s. I mean, I absolutely love this show. It was super spooky, but not too bad. Like, not too bad. Like,
Are
you generally a happy ending for the most part? And like,
for the most part,
there was two or three.
There were a few that were happy,
kind of goosebump booksy, you know.
Yeah.
But I went back through and like just I haven't seen this in more than 10 years. I don't think I've watched an episode. But going back through the list of seasons and episodes, I remembered probably every single one just from the thumbnail that I saw.
Yeah.
Safe to say this was a top show of my childhood. I watched this all the time. How about you guys? How about you, Sean?
Yeah, man. Every I remember getting home from elementary school and this was on. I think maybe like 2 episodes were on in a row. And me and my brother just sat in front of the TV and watched that intro and were scared shitless, you know. Honestly, though, I don't really remember being that scared of them all, but I like the aspect of like sitting down to tell a story, story time, you know. I love that in movies where like the movie The Fog by John Carpenter begins with a ghost story.
Yeah.
And it's like, yes. And then later in the movie, there's another story. I'm like, yes, okay, cool.
Right.
But these are stories with like flashbacks. These are dramatized stories presented to you as kids. And man, everything about them is so fucking fun. I loved it as a kid, 100%. Probably along with Double Dare and all the game shows.
It was like, just part of the Nickelodeon lineup.
Yep, just one of my favorites for sure.
Age?
SNICK.
SNICK. Because it started off in the daytime, but then it became a staple at the Saturday Night Nickelodeon.
Saturday Night Nickelodeon, man. When you got to SNICK and it was... Are You Afraid of the Dark? I was busy
on Saturdays.
I didn't have shit going on.
Me neither.
I was an indoor kid. definitely had that humidifier fired up. me and Bob, like, dude, me and Bob, my brother Bob, I'm telling you, man.
Bobby.
It would be like, Bob, it's hot! Bob, hurry up!
Grab extra gushers!
Gary's telling the story!
Bring me a surge!
Hurry! And so it was just one of those things. Like, I don't know how it became a thing, but it just became a thing for us that we're like, Are You Afraid of the Dark? There was points, and there was a point where they did back to back episodes of Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Ooh.
And we were so hyped on this. And so, but man, and yes, there were times that we took it way too far. Like, it was too serious to us.
Yeah.
Like, I really thought something was going to come get me in my sleep. I thought I was going to get trapped in a video game. No way. Sometimes I got freaked out by these.
It did its job.
You should not be telling some of these ideas to kids. So impressionable.
This show asked the question, Are You Afraid of the Dark? AJ said, yes.
Yes.
Yes, I am.
So I still watch it, though, right? No, you get out of here. Go on.
Well, and being able to go back and rewatch this, we're going to tell you about some of the history of this first and then talk about our favorite episodes. But going back and watching, this show is like a time capsule of shitty haircuts in the 90s for kids and terrible clothes. Have you, dude, that, like the butt cuts, man, the mullets, the bangs, and just had really bad haircuts, and it was amazing.
You know, like, okay, especially in the earlier episodes, like the first two seasons of this, it wasn't until 94 that this really started to take off and they got some real good influx of cash, you know, budget actually went up. Yep. And they got it was a lot better. But in the early ones, you're absolutely right. They had those kids. They're like, just take that kid because he's a lot cheaper and then bring him in, just whatever he's wearing.
And you know, we only got an hour to shoot this episode. Yeah. So just take the first take every time. Yeah. Let's move on.
He has long hair. His hair is greasy. That it looks like he just got out of a pool.
Perfect. Let's make this one about pool.
Make him a pool guy. Yeah, unbelievable. But we're let's give you some of the history first, like we usually like to do here. So there were two revival series of this. The first one airing from 99 to 2000. The second debuting in 2019. But we're going to be focusing on the classic version that we all know and love. The original series aired from 1990 to 1996. It was created by DJ McHale and Ned Candle.
DJ McHale.
That's what I said. I kind of want to know what DJ McHale looks like because I don't think he's a real DJ. So it originally aired on YTV, which was Canadian TV Network.
That's right. Yeah.
And it was picked up by Nickelodeon in 91, which is how the majority of us remember seeing it. I know it continued to get aired on YTV. Mm. So if you are in our Canadian audience, that's probably how you watched it. But through those years, it spanned 5 total seasons for a grand total of 65 episodes.
Wow.
The series revolved around a group of teenagers who refer to themselves as the Midnight Society. Love that name. We'll get to that a little bit later.
Why is there not a band called that?
There's a band called The Midnight, and they are unbelievable.
Okay.
They're like synthwave. Sounds like they're from the 80s. In fact, I sent you a video of that.
I think you did.
It was The Breakfast Club.
Yeah,
it was The Breakfast.
Right.
Yeah, remember that?
Oh God, yeah, it's great.
They're so good.
Yep.
So there you go. There's your answer.
I didn't get sent a video.
I'm gonna go.
No, I sent it to all you guys.
You got it too.
He just didn't watch it.
Yep.
I don't watch a lot.
Sherry True Colors. Go ahead, Mike.
So every episode at a secret location in the woods at night, one member would tell a scary story to the group. The actual story, rather than the telling, was displayed to the television viewer. The story was shown between the group's arrival at the site and their departure. themes of the stories usually revolve around a variety of paranormal phenomena, such as demons, ghosts, magic, haunted houses, magical curses, witches, vampires, werewolves, the cool stuff, and the coming in contact of those things with the average young adult youths. So, yeah, so that's kind of the breakdown of the history of this. But let's talk about the Midnight Society.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Gary.
I was going to ask you who your favorite character is, but I don't think there is a favorite character.
No, there was the chick I remember with the curly blonde hair.
I think that was Betty Ann.
She was a newcomer kind of,
early on. That was Sam.
That's Sam.
She comes so. Later on and all the boys are like, yeah.
And for me as a boy, then I was like, yeah, dude.
I always thought Gary told the best stories.
Yeah.
Well, Gary was the nerdiest, and I feel like he started the group.
He's like the leader. Yeah. He's like the Red Ranger.
Speaking of Breakfast Club, like, this is the group of kids who do not talk at school. They only talk at the Midnight Society, but they are not friends at school.
And those are the kids that bitch the entire time getting out to the fire pit.
Yes. Okay.
They're like, oh, it's kind of buggy out there.
Do you have DEET 40? I need my DEET. And where are their parents?
Why are they letting them?
This has to be like one of their like parents' backyards and not just like out in the middle of the forest.
Because I did have a friend that I grew up with down the street that kind of like it felt like a giant forest in his backyard, but it wasn't. It was like 0.1 acre. Of just timber that you could walk back into and feel like you were in a forest. So it had to be something 100%. Like that.
They cut out the scenes where Gary's mom was just like, Gary, you guys good on milk?
Mom, stop.
You got hot dogs? You're good.
Are you guys roasting hot dogs tonight?
Oh, which story are you telling them, Gary? Make sure to put out that fire around 9 o'clock.
No. Well, it's really actually
don't
very
true.
Don't
put my cocaine on there either.
Did you know what they actually used?
No, what was it?
Okay, so there's been a long-standing theory that they threw sugar on the fire, and that is what caused but it's been debunked. It is non-dairy creamer that they would throw on the fire. So next time you're having a campfire, bring that non-dairy creamer, just a handful, a sprinkle. Don't throw the whole thing on there, okay?
Well, there's episodes where, like, when they bring out, like, the new kid or whatever, I think is, what's his name? Tucker brings him.
Well, then it's Stig and Eric.
Stig. He brings Stig out, and, like, they throw the hood over his head and everything. And you're right, they totally just walked him to around the back of the house. So they didn't want people to know. That's why they do it. And then, like,
Gary, you guys are playing your games again.
Gary!
Oh, that's just the kids. They're just, must have a new boy.
Oh, boy, is that Stick fella?
That must be Stig. He was talking about him today before school.
I did a little research here. So Gary, Betty Ann, and Kiki were the only ones in every episode. Frank was the badass guy. Mm-hmm. He was in all the seasons but the final one, apparently.
Right.
And then you had Tucker, Sam, Kristen, David, Stig, and Eric, who were all only a part of the cast for anywhere from 1 to 3 seasons.
Okay.
You got to give it up to this show for not only like telling compelling, like the majority of the episode was the story.
Yeah.
Right.
And these people weren't in those stories normally. Some were meta and everything like that that we can get to. But maybe 2-3 minutes was dedicated to just the Midnight Society at the beginning.
Yeah.
And maybe at the end a little bit too.
A little bit at the end. Yeah.
But how synonymous they are, like we're talking about them as individual characters. Yeah. You know, they weren't like in the stories.
They did the same thing every week.
Yeah. It's like, and we related to them and like we're talking about them now. It's a really cool thing that they did.
And there's continuity between those episodes as they went along.
Very true. Like
I was talking about Stig, like they said, well, you're not in yet, but if you come back for a couple episodes, and so he comes back to tell more stories.
And he wasn't in with the scariest story of them all. We'll get to.
Right. Didn't let him in.
Crazy.
Who was your favorite then? Who did you guys identify with?
I didn't like any of them. I didn't like any of the Midnight Society.
You thought they're all just like too much?
Like they just all had their weird quirks. Like, I don't I don't like bugs. I don't like clowns. I don't like cold. I don't like hot. I don't like. They just were all mad.
They're
all the
indoor kids who slept with humidifiers.
Yeah, and that's what they were. Complained
on the way of the back around the house like this.
I was not. I did not have a favorite. Did you?
So when I was a kid, I thought Gary told the best stories, but then I was definitely wrong on that because turns out Gary. It's like they're. And Tucker was Gary's brother.
And he was the worst.
What's that?
Tucker was the worst,
Tucker
right?
was the worst, yeah. I think. I don't think he was the great. He was okay, like, here and there. But, like, he never had anything, like, crazy that you're like, oh, damn.
Oh,
yeah,
damn, Tucker.
Crazy. But it was like, their dad had the magic shop. That's why that's why he got all these different things.
And his stories were usually related to that.
A lot of magic, the super specs, like things like that. You had the gimmicky stuff that you'd get at the magic shops, you know?
It actually was a very cool, again, to Sean's point, like, they didn't just go, okay, here's the new story. Gary's going to tell it. Like, there was usually a theme to what type of story that said character would tell.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
In fact, like Frank, we'll get to Dr. Vink. All of Frank's stories had Dr. Vink in it.
Okay. Great. Like,
that's pretty cool.
That's
right?
Really well done. Yeah. And so, and then I believe who had Sardo, because Sardo was one of the magic guys.
Yep. And I think so. I think it was Gary, maybe.
Gary or Tucker, one of the two.
Yep.
But yes. And
it
so.
It was well thought out.
Exactly. But then I think when it really came down to it, it was Mary Jackson.
Beth
Ann.
Beth Ann.
No, I'm sorry. Betty
Ann. My bad.
Mid-century name, something. I don't know. But I think she had like the best story. Yeah. The ones that I thought were like, wow, damn, that's true.
So that I was judging them on characters. You were judging them on stories.
On their actual stories.
I just hated their characters.
Yeah, I was judging them on the point of the show, Mike. God damn.
Damn it. I never like picked one where I'm like, yeah, that's my White Ranger. You know, no, I never had that.
Never
but,
had that.
I mean, if Betty Ann had the best stories, then the Betty Ann's one for me.
There you go.
All right. Respect.
Well, we're going to break. I mean, I know why you're tuning in. It's some of these episodes, because some of these were so iconic and everybody remembers them. And so we wanted to revisit. We each picked a few that we kind of wanted to remind you of and maybe discuss. So I'll start it off. One of the very first episodes, I think it was number 3, was Laughing in the Dark.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the one where there was like an amusement park that they went to, and there was the haunted house kind of thing. That was a clown house.
Well, and starting off with, before you get to your episode, I think it's like number 3 you said, or number 2.
It was
3.
Very close in season 1.
The first episode is garbage.
Is it really?
It's like it has like Dr. Frank or
Dr. Vink?
Vink.
It was in there?
Yeah.
And it was like the claw one or something?
It was like the cab.
The phantom cab.
Yeah, and it had that so shitty bad. Kid in it.
Yeah, yes. it's like terrible. And then they get to this one, and like,
all of a sudden,
fuck, it's on.
They beat you over the head with it on this one, man.
Yeah.
Well, and there are some definitive lists out there of like top 10. Uh-huh. Are you afraid of it? And this one is always on it.
In fact,
the ones we're going to talk about were pretty much primarily on there. But the kids went to this amusement park, and there was a clown house, haunted house thing where it was Debo the clown, right?
Zebo.
Sorry, I was thinking Friday. Yeah, Debo, you know course. What I mean? I just watched that too. Zebo the clown, but like they dare the kid. They say there's legends around the clown, and you know, it smells like cigar smoke in there. Right. And so they dare the one kid to go take the nose off of Zebo the clown.
Yeah, if you're so brave,
and that
go
kid
on to
was
the end.
Again,
well, how do we know you don't just hang out in the front entrance and you just come back around?
Yeah, well, watch me. I'm gonna take his nose.
Yeah,
and then you're gonna have to wear it at school the next day.
Yeah.
And so he does. He goes in there and he gets terribly freaked out because it's that clown is horrifying. And the laugh that so he steals the nose, and then of course he goes home and is terrorized by something you don't see, but we are assuming it is Zebo the clown coming back to get his nose, and his house smells like cigar smoke, and it's
awesome.
So this is a definitive one, especially for like some of my older brothers and stuff. This is the one, and this is probably why we're fucked up and are terrified of fucking clowns.
Why
I'm actually terrified of this stuff. Okay, so one, there is a moment in this one where you actually see the original Zebo the clown. He pops up in a mirror, and he is terrifying. He is terrifying. I just got goosebumps. I literally just got piece I was thinking about. He pops up in this mirror out of the dark. And by the way, it's the character who, it's the actor who plays Dr. Vink.
Yes. But it's the only time he is not Dr. Vink. Correct. He's just this random guy.
Exactly. So he plays the carny and he says,
come on, man. He got a weird southern accent.
Most fun in the park when you're laughing in the dark. And it is, it's really creepy. He does it so well. And then, so it turns out, like, the idea is like, okay, well, maybe he is Zeebo. He's the ghost of Zeebo.
We don't know.
Zeebo, the clown, tried to rip off the original 1940s circus and steal the whole payday. And he gets caught in the funhouse and the fire happens due to his cigars.
Yep.
And he goes up in smoke.
That's the legend.
Classic. There's the legend, right? And that, man.
Don't smoke, kids.
And so, what a wonderful way to do this, though. You can tell if, like, if they didn't have a lot of money to throw around, then they did such a good job at this by playing on your emotions.
Totally.
And not really seeing much.
Yeah.
You just see things and shadows, you hear things.
And you're told that the smoke smells like cigars. Correct. And
yeah. So I thought that was a really good episode for – does it hold up for you today? Did you get a chance to rewatch it at all?
I don't get – I'm definitely not as scared as I was as a kid, because some of those moments were terrifying, and it's more of a cool story.
Yeah.
And I think the majority of the ones we're going to talk about were still completely watchable and entertaining for me still as an adult.
Totally.
That it's the whole Jaws effect that you're talking about. It's the showing as little as possible and just kind of like having the audience imply what's going on, like implying like, what the hell is this actually? And – This show was brilliant at that, where it had really good writers and really good directors really doing these episodes, and the effects and production design were fucking top notch.
Yeah.
Like really, really top notch. We'll get into a little later with like the makeup effects and everything like that, but they were outstanding for a show of this caliber, at least.
Absolutely.
Well, who wants to tell AJ? You want to tell another episode here?
Make me go.
Yeah, you're gonna have to go. Do this. I know you want to. Which one are you picking?
Do you want me to do the scary or the one that doesn't hold up?
Do the one that doesn't hold up.
Yeah, do that first.
Okay, so I say it doesn't hold up, but it's still. This is the idea. Again, this is an idea that has to be absolutely terrifying as a child, right? This is the tale of the water demons.
Ooh,
okay. Yeah. So the water demons
sounds horrifying.
It's absolutely terrifying. So there's two boys and one is visiting this town by a body of water by the ocean. And he's kind of helping them around the house. He's visiting their cousins or something. And so they work at their father's the one boy's store, this father's store. All right. So it comes back around. They have to make a delivery up to the Hutchinson Cottage or whatever, mansion, Hutchinson mansion. And they have to deliver this coffee. And so they take them up there. They take it up there. They're like, oh, man, that's the old codger's Hutchinson's mansion. He's crazy. He's an old sea captain. They go up there. They deliver the coffee. They end up running into him. During this delivery process, and they learn this story about how he doesn't really sleep at all. They come for him and so on and so forth. The demons, they come for him. They're like, okay, what? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even know what you're talking about, guy. So in the process of doing this, there's obviously a lot of sunken treasure. That's how this guy made his fortune.
Yep.
And in doing so, there's a lot of treasure in these cases and things like that. And I'll call him Ethan. Ethan steals a piece of treasure.
To stop you, though, the kids all had terrible names.
They all had stupid names, okay? Devin. His name is Devin. We'll call him Devin. Devin steals a piece of treasure. And so as the story goes on, if this old man falls asleep, demons immediately come from the water to drag him back to the depths.
Terrifying.
Jesus.
As a repentance.
This is all terrifying.
Horribly terrifying. And these guys and the demons are creepy looking.
But this is the one that didn't hold up for you?
But it didn't really hold up because one, the idea holds up. That's terrifying.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sounds like terrifying. Your story is way scarier.
Yeah. Absolutely terrifying. Like if you fall asleep for long enough, they can reach you, and they drag you back to the depths.
I don't like that.
Ryan reminds me of the Garfield Halloween episode.
Correct.
It's like Freddy Krueger. You sleep.
So here's why it didn't hold up. Why didn't he just like jump on a plane he would have gotten enough sleep on a Learjet over. He's rich. Just go to the middle of Australia. Like by the time you get a good solid 8 hours, they can't even catch an Uber to get to you at that point.
AJ,
man.
Like, AJ, none of these stories hold up. Okay, like these are all idiot, stupid kids making stupid decisions.
It's just one of those things. But you know what? The only reason it holds up now is because other dummy kid stole a piece of treasure for no fucking reason.
And then he was the guy, so if
old man falls asleep, then they also come after dummy kid.
All right.
So they got to take the treasure back and get rid of it. So that's why you can't just hop on a plane and just catch your winks up there.
Which one did you watch, Sean?
One that didn't hold up for me, but always stuck with me this entire time since I've watched it is one with Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah.
It is called The Tale of Station 109.1. And it is all about this kid who is, I'll say our dark queen princess, Winona Ryder, but as a little whiny bitch ass, male.
Are we talking about Ryan Gosling?
This is his brother,
okay.
The main character. Okay. So Ryan Gosling is
in this episode.
Is in this episode.
Yeah, I was going to be like, how dare you talk about Ryan Gosling?
No, his stupid, dumb brother who is obsessed with death and starts the episode out with, like, in a coffin, waking up with his mom, being like, breakfast time. He's like, oh, my dark summons me. And he's like, what the fuck?
Oh, no.
I understand,
dude.
Like, being into goth stuff and everything like that. I understand, like, being wanted to, like, just the darkness, like being into horror movies and stuff like that, but just being a little bitch about it.
Yep.
and being like the Santa Claus kid.
Oh, Charlie,
being like a Charlie obsessed with Santa Claus, obsessed with death.
No,
is just
like,
as worse.
I don't like this kid.
So anyway, he's obsessed with this death whole thing, and he hears this broadcast in this hearse saying that this station is a portal way through this life to the next life. And so he goes and visits, and Gilbert Gottfried is like the ticket taker. It's pretty much the room from Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
The waiting room from Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
And Gilbert Gottfried's yelling his ass off and
perfect
and letting people in and letting
classic.
People in. And so this kid gets confused with an actual dead person. And so goes beyond into death, been like kind of like a in between purgatory kind of thing. And so his brother, Ryan Gosling is can't really see him. And he's trying to get his attention, and everything like that. And saying like, Hey, I'm a little bitch. Remember me? Ryan Gosling's having none of it because he's a charming actor.
Yeah, of course.
And
he's got a life ahead of him.
Exactly.
He's got a future.
He's working with Gilbert Gottfried. So it's up to Ryan Gosling to try and find out or like hear his brother over this radio station to calling from the netherworld to get him back. And maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, and who cares? It's a fun episode, and I don't know why it's always stuck with me. And maybe it's just Gilbert Gottfried's voice.
Yeah,
I immediately
remembered it when you said Gilbert Gottfried.
100%. It's like I always remember a scene of them like in an escalator on a mall, and I don't know if it was in this episode whatsoever. It could have been a different one, but I always remember him, and I remember Ryan Gosling for sure, because who can't? But yeah.
He got a fun fact for Ryan Gosling. He then got offered, he was so good that they're like, will you be a part of the Midnight Society? And he's like, no.
Oh shit.
He straight turned him down.
He's straight up.
He's
you
like, don't turn down the
he's
Midnight
like,
Society.
No, I'm good. I got other things going on.
Shit.
Wow.
So I'm just saying.
Is that real?
Yeah, that's real.
Wow.
That's my man, Ryan Gosling, dude.
Damn.
Shit.
You got another one?
Yeah. So this one held up for me completely.
Okay.
And I think it's the scariest one. It's on everyone's list for scariest. It was called Midnight Madness.
Okay.
In fact, I think it was the only one that wasn't called Tale of, or maybe it was. I might cut this out. I think it was called Tale of Midnight Madness. And this one, again, you've got dumbass kids. These two teenagers are working at a theater that is showing like the world's worst movies, and no one's coming to see them because
Shocker.
Weird, like show the world's worst movies and no one will go see them, right? Like, and they complain that the Cineplex across town is showing all the good ones.
They're getting all the good movies.
What a good burger in there. Whatever burger.
Mega Chomp burger. I don't know.
So they, our friend Dr. Vink shows up.
Yeah.
His theater's about ready to close their doors. And he goes, I am in the film business and I have a movie that if you let me show this movie, you will have more money than you ever dreamed of.
Might I say, maybe the hammiest actor that I've ever seen in my entire life, but
so staged,
completely entertaining.
Like, completely, yeah, though, I absolutely think that was what he was there for. He felt like a theater actor, yeah, that was, yeah, just, they said, go do whatever, it'll be awesome, scare kids.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, I can do that. He did.
And he said, he's like, well, if you let me play my movie and I revive your theater, I don't want money, I just want to be allowed to play one movie every week or something like,
yeah,
that.
That's what every director's dream is trying to do.
That's amazing. Let's, yeah, do this. So he plays this old film, silent film. Like, this is going to do any better than these shit movies you're playing. Mm-hmm. And it's Nosferatu, which, by the way, I think is commonly thought of as one of the scariest movies of all time, it's anyway,
the
right?
Original.
The first vampire movie ever, and it is very terrifying. Max Schreck as Nosferatu in that movie is, like, just look up images from Nosferatu.
It's a terrifying image.
It's creepy as fuck.
And so they start playing this movie, and people start coming in droves, and they love it, and the theater's vibrant as hell. But then turns out there's a sinister thing going on here. Nosferatu is able to come out of the screen into, mm-hmm, real life, and that is so absolutely terrifying that he's comes out of that screen and is now like ready to be a vampire and, yeah, attack and kill people.
It's a good effect, and yeah, it's a believable effect when he comes out, mm-hmm, of the screen too.
It doesn't look stupid.
It doesn't, and it's really creepy because the original Nosferatu has like vampire teeth, mm-hmm, like pointed.
Yeah,
this one has like these teeth weird, like ours, but like very crooked and, yeah, and like brown and stuff. And that's like even more, yeah, creepy.
Something very grotesque about that.
Yeah. Like getting bit by that, but as opposed to like a spiky tooth, that, yeah, just creeps, yeah, me out, dude. That's, yeah, ugh.
And like, do you want two fang points or do you want like 70 weird, yeah, offset
square,
fang points?
Yeah.
No, I don't,
yeah,
want those. But of course he gets the kid, our hero, gets him back in the film, and Dr. Vink is pissed, and he still can't get the girl that he's been trying to get the whole episode that keeps, yeah, turning him down, but it's okay. It was a great, that was one of my favorites.
I liked it. It just goes to show how diverse, even for the 90s, yeah, this series was, because there's a black male, yeah, with a white female. And like even the Midnight Society, like there's totally, kind of your, I think was there an Asian? Was an Asian dude?
I don't think there was, but they were kind of they were sort of praised for like having, for not picking like the Disney type characters. Yeah, they just, yeah, picked the weird kids that were just kind of mismatches.
And, yeah. I felt, yeah, like it was like really kind of refreshing. Even like them as like a love interest is like kind of interracial.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Hey, they didn't really think about it.
It never happened because, yeah, she turned him down, well, pretty, yeah, much the whole movie.
I like to think that it happened.
Eventually.
I like to believe
he did
that
save
too,
the world.
Thank God.
One thing too, I wanted to bring up about Dr. Vink. He was played by Aaron Taeger.
Taeger, yeah.
He basically showed up in 5-6 episodes as a character called Dr. Vink. The joke was always people say Fink, he say Vink with the v. and they would always call him a nutbag behind his back, and he would always show up and be like, I am not a nutbag. But I have a Mike's fan theory on this, because why go about having the same character who shows up in 5-6 different episodes, but he's playing a completely different, he's the same guy, but he's got a whole different career, mm-hmm, in every episode. So like that doesn't make sense to me, right? But here's the theory. He is a supernatural being.
He's a trickster.
He's a demon.
Mm.
He's a demon, a sorcerer brought to earth to cause, because all of his jobs are sinister, right? In nature, like dangerous soup. Mm-hmm. He's been creating this soup,
that, chef,
that's made from people's fears. Boy, and RG, shit.
Yeah.
So he is a supernatural being that like once his movie plan was spoiled in Midnight Madness, he's like, well, transform me into something else, and then he becomes the cook. And he goes, "Now I will take over the world."
Yeah.
That's my theory on Dr.
I'm into it. Yeah, there's a whole character in the show Supernatural, which probably won't do on this show. who I think is just like a trickster god, and is just kind of takes on different forms, and then just kind of causes chaos throughout different storylines.
Totally right.
Christopher Heyerdahl actually played the Nosferatu.
Yeah.
In that, and I don't know if you guys know who that is. He's not super well known, but he really resonated. It really resonated with me because he was the Swede in Hell on Wheels. If you guys ever watched
that's a great show.
Wonderful show. He was the Swede. He was AMC, also most recently in Togo. It says Mayor George Maynard. Maynard. His other ones. But a couple other obvious, like, decent credits. Star Trek, Psych 2, things like that.
Age, tell us your second one that you loved.
Okay. Are you ready for this? This is the tale of the Ghastly Grinner.
Oh, yeah.
Got to be. Maybe one of the most famous episodes of them all.
In my opinion, this is the scariest episode and is the most like jarring like episode.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a little bit of a mic description on this for you.
Okay.
Okay. A young comic book artist, Ethan Wood, beset on rejection and lazy parents who don't support his dreams, comes across a unfinished comic book when given an invitation to a opening for a comic book store.
Yeah.
He accidentally unleashes the villain who turns his victims into drooling, giggling zombies.
That's so creepy. Sometimes the descriptions are scarier than the actual movie.
It's like, dude, it's really freaky because, like, number one, it starts out and like he gets this like mysterious, this is Ethan Wood. And he's getting all these rejections for his comics and he's trying really hard and everything. And his parents don't give a damn. They're just laughing at the TV and just being idiots and stuff.
It's Skrillex.
Yeah, basically. I'm going to ask you, Mike, if you recognize who this actor is.
I definitely did. I can't tell you, but
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I did not.
Okay. I'll tell you later. He basically goes on, he gets this invite to the grand opening of a comic book store. He's like, all right, well, I'll go. It's like, all right, you got to beat the lines. And he gets this invite. He shows up and he's like, yeah, I got this. And this girl behind the counter says, you're him. You're the one. You're the guy. You've got the vibe, the Uncas. Sylvester Uncas. And like when I heard that, I immediately got taken back, like literally like 17 years. I was like, oh my God, the Uncas. And so anyways, but he goes through, he gets the comic book and it's the Ghastly Grinner. And the Ghastly Grinner turns, it's the bad guy. The bad guy wins, you know? And it's a really weird thing. So this comic book, he's reading it in class, the teacher finds out about it, and he's like, no, no, it's one of a kind. Well, now it's none of a kind. And the teacher drops it in a fish tank.
Oh, piece no.
of
shit.
Yeah. Dick move, bro.
Yeah.
And so to dry out this comic book, he puts it in the microwave.
As you do.
Of course. Like, it's paper, so you just, you know, put it in there. There's no staples holding it together.
No.
And so he puts it in the microwave. He gets distracted. He comes back, and it's exploded. And then he sees the big imprint on the wall of what looks like the Ghastly Grinner, which is hilarious.
It's comical.
It's very comical, you know, pun intended.
Yeah.
And so this guy goes around. He turns his parents first. He sees his parents. And
creepy anyway, parents.
Yeah.
Matilda parents.
Yeah, very Matilda-like. And, like, everything they say is just like they just start laughing and this goo just comes out of their mouth and they're like all just like their eyes are like all deep and like depressed and stuff like that. And then one of the creepiest parts of this is they go and they jump on the bus, his new friend,
yeah,
Hooper Picadero. And they jump on the bus and they look up and they're reading through the comic book. And the
I'm
comic
Picadero.
Book,
I'm in your social studies class.
Right? Yeah, yeah. And as they're reading through, they realize that what's happening is happening in the comic book.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
They look up and they see the bus driver and his head just whips around.
Yeah, man.
And he just starts laughing maniacally and just driving this bus like all psycho. Dude, the Ghastly Grinner, past all this, is the most terrifying creature on TV.
All right, I'm going back. I did not rewatch that one. I'm going to rewatch that one.
You do yourself a favor.
I'm going to do it tonight before I go to bed.
Do it tonight, great. And you need to text us. But yes, like, I'm serious. Like, this is, it's creepy shit. And like the music, like you were talking about earlier, Sean, the production value of this is when it kind of started really getting good. The production value is good. The music was good. The set was good. The costumes were decent.
Hair was shit.
The hair was still trash. But man, absolutely crazy. This guy is terrifying.
Yeah.
And he is literally the reason I'm probably afraid of clowns, guys. Legit.
Wow.
So I'll leave it up to, I'm going to leave you in suspense as to how it ends. since Mike hasn't gotten a chance to rewatch.
Yeah, it's another weird ending that doesn't usually happen in these shows. But one episode that I really love that I remembered, and it's probably my favorite, is The Tale of Dead Man's Float.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Oh, man, yeah.
It follows this kind of nerdy dude.
Kind of nerdy.
Very, very nerdy dude. Who's doing like a science experiment in the beginning of
Brian
the show.
Brian Johnson, dude.
Yeah, really. Yeah, the singer of AC/DC.
Yeah.
Is doing this science experiment and is met by these two chicks who one of them thinks he's cute and one of them thinks he's kind of annoying.
Yep.
And
classic problem.
Absolutely. And the one that thinks he's annoying, he kind of really likes. And so he's wanting to exchange sort of like science lessons, I guess we'll say, with swimming lessons because he's afraid to swim.
Yes.
And she's a swimmer. But before all that, we get a preamble with Jay Baruchel, your very young
yes,
Jay Baruchel.
Right.
And he's swimming in this pool, and his sister and her boyfriend are making out and not really paying attention to him. And as a lifeguard, not really paying attention to him. And like, I was kind of surprised at the sexuality between these two.
Fair,
like
yeah.
it was like, oh shit, they're like going to kiss and everything. I was like, oh cool. It's
they're really going to go after
yeah.
it.
Okay.
And so Jay Baruchel dies straight up fucking dies
in a matter of seconds.
And, so the lifeguard can't, get to him. And so, so we get back to our main characters. We are with our nerdy guy and the swimmer of the two. And the nerdy guy says, I found something in our school locker room. I need you and like come check it out. And so he finds this pool. Because
abandoned pool.
Because
the kid died. The
kid died in the pool.
So instead of just like doing something about it, they just walled it off.
Instead of filling it in and maybe like a more indoor like wrestling room or something.
Auditorium.
We wanted it to
be ice rink.
We wanted to make it look like Chernobyl.
Yeah, just leave it. We'll have the one janitor who saw the kid die just take care of it and be the caretaker.
Spoiler.
So
penance.
Yeah. So since his discovery, the girl kind of tells the school to like make this an
and the
actual
school's
pool.
Like, wait, what? There's a pool?
Whoopsie. Wow, great discovery, you valedictorian. Now so they carry out these swimming lessons with these two, and then their interaction is actually really charming. I really like them together. I remember thinking she was super cute back in the day, and he's a pretty good actor. But it turns out that this invisible force
back
is trying to take care of these kids who are swimming in this pool and doesn't want them to be there, and so it's kind of terrorizing this school, and it's up to our main protagonist to figure out what's going on. So the janitor, the security lifeguard from back in the day, is now the janitor of the school.
Yes, because he feels the need to stay there to protect.
And
yes,
so I actually
it's
thought
Binks from Hocus Pocus.
It's what
basically
it is.
Binks. Old man is Binks.
I actually thought his performance was actually kind of good. Like his storytelling is like, yeah, some kid died here, and it's been like I've seen like four kids die or something like that. It's like four.
Jesus, dude, you've seen some shit.
We should probably move locations of this school. And so it's up to them. And so being all sciencey and everything like that, that he figures out that he can put this like some weird red compound in this water to make it
methyl
manifest
orange.
Itself. Thank you. Methyl orange.
Oh, yeah.
That's which is my band name. so this character that, or this creature that comes out, is maybe even more terrifying than the gas cigarette.
It's pretty
scary.
It is
just like a zombie looking red orangish skeleton thing straight up from fucking the devil himself, his balls, you know. It's very scary looking and very intimidating, and all all the effects are super well done in this. And so that's kind of like the gist of this episode, but I just thought like the story was really great. The acting was really solid, and just kind of everything about it was really stood out to me.
So number one, I don't know his name right off the bat, but Ethan Wood from The Ghastly Grinner is also the buddy of Billy Madison that he meets. He's one of the nerds in high school
that
he meets. And he's like, yeah, we just started cutting our underwear. So to help with the wedgies.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of those guys.
The long-haired kid.
Yes, he's that kid.
Dude.
Yep. And then In Dead Man's Float, Clarice is Margot Finley, and she is the love interest of Charlie in D3.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So here's a few other ones. We said cool. Gilbert Gottfried and Ryan Gosling were in The Tale of Station 109.1. Melissa Joan Hart, Clarissa herself, was in The Tale of the Frozen Ghost. Mm-hmm. My personal favorite of all time, like crush, Alicia Cuthbert.
Ooh, oh yeah, that's right.
Was in Tale of the Night Shift. She was super young to where
that
almost.
That is a terrifying episode.
It's a terrifying episode, and you almost don't recognize her because she's actually so young compared to when she came into adult movies and stuff like that. Hayden Christensen is in Tale of Bigfoot Ridge.
I don't know if I know or remember that episode. That might be one
I did not rewatch that one. Yeah,
I'll rewatch it.
Nev Campbell, Tale of the Dangerous Soup, and Aaron Ashmore from Smallville. Yep. His brother, being Sean Ashmore, was in Tale of the 13th Floor.
Yeah. Really,
some famous peoples, man.
13th Floor is weird. 13th
Floor
is
awesome.
So I got a problem. If you skip over the 13th Floor, like, and you go to the 14th Floor, it's still the 13th Floor.
Right. They just don't call it that.
No, ain't no building gonna skip a whole floor of square footage.
Exactly.
We can't get into this.
Okay. We will talk about that some other time.
But that's a fact. It actually happens in buildings. They don't put the 13th
floor. We're gonna get into the Cecil Hotel and the whole.
I'm done. Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed this one. Amazon Prime. I think if you have that, you can stream a bunch of these, and I think there are on YouTube. Like much of the 90s.
I bought a couple of them on YouTube. I have to thank my cousin Molly Roush and I think listener for lending me all of these DVDs.
Nice. Dude. She has the DVDs.
They were bootleg for sure. So nefariously somehow, but either way, I consumed a lot of these because of her. And so thank you very much.
Take the free Paramount trial and do that because it's a heck of a lot cheaper than buying episodes or seasons even on Amazon.
So. Yeah. They were, if you're a Prime member, I believe a few of the seasons were free or something. Yeah. You had just start typing it in and just
do your best.
And so, Molly, we hope we did it justice. We hope you love it. And so don't forget to tune in. Next week, we're going to get back to the full-blown movie reviews in honor of an upcoming release of the brand new Mortal Kombat movie. We will be tackling the original Mortal Kombat from 1995. And in 2 weeks, we'll get back to some fun-filled mini-bites. We're going to talk about American Gladiators.
Adult guts.
And don't forget to leave us a review, give us a phone call, leave us a voicemail at 319-804-9596. I declare this meeting of the Midnight Society closed, boys.
I think so. I think we're all in.
Let's run out of here.
Don't forget to put out the fire.
God damn it, Mom.
Pee on it if you need to.
Okay, bye.
The truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.